Welcome to worship at Little Sitara. It is a joy to be here and to see all your smiling faces. I have my readers on, so I can't really see your faces. Sorry about that. But don't forget to sign the register of attendance and pass it down the row. I'm not aware of announcements. Okay, there is one. We're going to be doing Christmas caroling this afternoon on this beautiful December day. It's going to be snowing, and the sun is going to be shining, and it's going to be warm, but still chilly. It'll be a beautiful time because it's going to be sunny on the inside. We're going to get to visit some people who could use a visit, and we're going to be singing Christmas carols, which is kind of fun. So if you want to come along, there's actually a light lunch provided. I think we'll be in the 5th and 6th grade Sunday school rooms for a light lunch following worship, and then we're going to go out and do some caroling. So if you want to come, please join us. We can use the extra voices, the extra smiles, and it'll be a good time. Other announcements? None? Sweet. We have a call to worship, so I believe it'll be on the screen. If not, it's in your bulletin. There we go. We greet thee, Father, in complete joy.
Seeing and believing the great news of the coming King.
May we be overwhelmed by your total presence. Please open your hymnals to number 56, Awake, Arise, O Sing a New Song.
We have reason to rejoice this morning because we know that our God is with us. So thank you for joining us here at Little Sitara, and we invite you to share any joys or concerns that you may have. And as always, we encourage you to keep your bulletin with you. There's prayer concerns listed in there. We encourage you to keep in prayer as you go through your week. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share this morning?
Hi, Robin Lamb for healing. She fell last night and she's waiting for surgery at the Reading Hospital.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the meaning, for the purpose that you give to our lives. We thank you for the joy. We thank you for the comfort. We thank you for the peace. We thank you for the knowledge of a Savior that's being born to us very soon. And we just rejoice over the fact that our lives, as they are surrendered to you, can be molded into your likeness. And we pray, Father, each day of our lives that we would continue to just look to you. We would be obedient. We would continue to show you to others, as we know many in the world have not yet come to know you. So we pray that our lives would just be a beacon of light, that we would shine and we would allow love to permeate forth. We do think of those that have lost loved ones this morning. Lord, as Christmas time nears, it becomes difficult to deal with the season. And we just pray for that missing part in so many people's lives would just be filled with your hope and with your presence in a very powerful way. We think of those that are facing surgery. Lord, you know specifically who they are. And we pray, Father, that you would just be with each of them. You would give them just encouragement. You would give them strength. And you would give doctors precision as they operate. And Lord, we pray for that healing time, that they would recover well. And we just thank you for those that have been through surgery that are recovering now. And just pray that your complete wholeness would be given to them. And we just thank you, Lord, for the wholeness you give to each of us. We just want to lift up the Myers family to you this morning as well, and just pray for Mark and Karen, Savannah and Jean and Jack especially this morning. Just continue, Lord, to just wrap that family with your loving arms, and especially that community as well, as they face the loss of Gracie. Lord, just bless them, Lord, and just allow them to know just how near you are to them and to each of us. Lord, we just thank you for just being with us in all things. We know whether we're rejoicing, we know whether we're sorrowful, whatever emotion we're feeling, we know, God, that you extend that emotion with us through the way that you have demonstrated while you walked on this earth. So we just thank you, Father, for this Christmas time, but not only at Christmas do we rejoice all year long, because we know that you are good. And we just lift up those on our prayer concerns this morning as well. Think of Carl, and we think of Eric, and we think of Barry, we think of Joanne this morning, and we think of Ruth, and we think of Denise, Lord, and just pray, Lord, your will would be accomplished in their lives. Lord, we don't always understand what's going on, but Lord, we know that you are the master physician, and we just pray you would just piece together each individual, each of us, Lord, wherever we may feel broken this morning. Lord, I just pray you would just put us back together, for we know that you're a God of wholeness, and you just give us that wholeness as we seek you, and as we know that it's not on our own understanding, but on the way that you help us to understand. So Lord, just help us understand each of the things that we're going through this day, and we just pray that we would just continue to just let your love flow through us and continue to just let your light shine. And we pause now. We know that sometimes darkness enters in and sin creeps in, and we just pray now in these next few moments of brief silence that you would hear our prayers of confession, and just thank you, God, for your forgiveness, and thank you for hearing the prayers of our hearts as well. Lord, we just pray each and every day you would continue through your Holy Spirit to lead, to guide, and to direct us, to just help us to be able to say the name of Jesus boldly and to proclaim the good news of this Christmas season all year long, that you have come, that you have brought life for each of us, a new life, Lord, and that our old self can be gone and this new self can be put on, and we can know that it's with you. We can go through this life and walk hand in hand with you and just make a difference, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. So thank you, God, for meeting us in this place, for giving us the opportunity to praise you, to be able to listen to words as the choir sings. And we just pray that we would go forth and just burst into song as our lives unfold who you are to others. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our offertory thought this morning, I chose to use 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 11 to 12. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Let us bring the gifts that we have to honor the Lord from the wealth that he has given us. Let's bow our heads. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for the way that as much splendor as you have and your creativity, and you are mindful of us. We thank you for the way that you pour out your blessings on us, and we pray that you would enjoy the blessings that we return to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Road of willing road,
where for strength to do your
I would like to have the children come join me up front, please. Good morning. How is everyone doing this morning? Today is the third Sunday of Advent. Did you know that? So we're getting closer. And I imagine that some of you might have some beautifully wrapped presents maybe under your tree. Does anyone have presents under their tree yet? Okay, very nice. Have you ever looked at the packages to see how many of them have your name on them? Has anyone ever done that? Did you check to see if any were for you? I know I have. Maybe you try to guess what's inside, shake it around, try to look inside the wrapping. Did you ever sneak in when mom and dad weren't around and try to shake the packages and squeeze them? No? Oh, you guys are good. I must confess that I did that when I was a child, but you know what? My parents never put any presents under the tree until Christmas morning, so I didn't know, but me and my brother, we always knew where their hiding spot was. But you know, when I was a child, checking out the presents under the tree, I wasn't the least bit interested in the gifts that had other people's names on them. I was only interested in the ones that were for me. Some of us might feel the same way. Much of the time, we think of only ourselves. But is that the real spirit of Christmas, when we only think of ourselves? No. In our Bible lesson today, we read that many people had heard John calling them to repent of their sins and be baptized so that they would be ready for the coming Messiah. Large crowds of people were coming to be baptized by John. John said to them, "First, do something to show that you have really repented of your sin." "What should we do?" the people asked. "If you have two coats, give one to someone who doesn't have one. If you have food, share it with someone else." In other words, John was saying, stop thinking only of yourself and start thinking of others. Did you know Christmas is only 9 days away? How much thought have we given to what we can do for others during the Christmas season? We have been given so much, shouldn't we share what we have with others who may not have as much? What are some ways that we can do that? What are some things we can do for others during the Christmas season? Does anyone have any ideas?
Giving each other presents.
Giving each other presents. Does it always have to involve giving presents?
No.
What else could we do besides giving presents? Give them a Bible. That's a great idea. There's a lot of great organizations that we can help others too, the Salvation Army and the Angel Tree and Operation Christmas. Or you could go Christmas caroling to the shut-ins, just like our church is doing today. So we can also give to mission offerings in our own church who help those in need. So there might be food or clothing drives that we can contribute to in our own church or community. Sharing with others, that's the spirit of Christmas. So let's all show the true spirit of Christmas this year. So I want each of you to think of something how you could share the Christmas spirit with someone else to make them happy. Let's pray. Father, as we celebrate the birth of our Savior, help us to remember those who are in need of food, shelter, clothing. We are reminded that Jesus himself taught us that when we do something to help those in need, it is the same as doing it for him. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Thank you for that children's story and for the plug for the caroling. I think that was great. There's plenty of room. You might have to bring your own car, but that's okay. It'll be fun. We'll work it out. Our scripture this morning is Philippians 4, verses 4 to 7. The heading for this section is Final Exhortations. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
You ever ask yourself the question, why is it so much easier to complain than to rejoice? I mean, this isn't exactly the shirt I wanted to wear this morning. The shirt I wanted to wear is still in the wash. And my hair, like I put gel in it, but it just wouldn't do what I wanted it to do this morning. And let's not even get started on my feet. My feet are so tired today. I tried on 3 different pairs of shoes and my feet are still just aching. And I could go on and on about so many complaints. But friends, we have so much reason to rejoice in the Lord always, to rejoice in this very moment, to rejoice in the days ahead. Friends, we soon celebrate that love came down. Jesus came in the flesh. Hope has been born. And we can say it again, rejoice, because Christ is our song. He's the music we play with our lives, the reason we can sing at all. But as our scripture unfolds, keep in mind, this was written by Paul when he is in prison. He had iron shackles around his ankles and wrists. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'd be rejoicing. All he was doing was proclaiming the good news of Jesus. But the authorities didn't like it one bit. But here he is rejoicing amidst what we may call injustice, or unfair charges. He even goes on to say in the passage, let your gentleness be evident to all. So here's Paul's advice to the church, especially Philippi, to be happy, to be joyful at all times, but also to be gentle. Now, for whatever reason, I'm picturing a baby in the arms of a fully grown man holding it ever so gently. Typically, I would have pictured a lamb. Lambs are typically considered something gentle, but I've raised them for county fairs, and I've realized I'm not so sure about that anymore. But after some loving, they do become a bit more gentle. But gentle, think about that word. It's not someone in prison that you would describe as being gentle. Yet Paul repeatedly conveys this in all his letters to the churches. Think about that for a moment. We're talking about Corinth, Ephesus, Colossae, Thessalonica, and others. And here's why. He says it in the next part of our scripture. The Lord is near. For whatever reason, we have this notion, we have this idea that we're here, we're gathered here, but God is like somewhere off in the distance. But we need to unwrap this notion just a bit more and realize that the Lord is near. Another way we might say this is that God is with us. Friends, it's good for us to know that God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at one time. This is what we'd call an attribute of God. The others you may remember are omniscience, which means he has all knowledge, and omnipotence, which means he has all power. Now, I know it's a lot to comprehend, but God even knows that. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And this is where we struggle the most, and why Christmas can be challenging for many, having lost loved ones or fighting a severe illness. But know, friends, that God fills his creation with his presence. Acts 17:27, he is not far from any one of us. On an even more personal level, God is with all believers. You see, when we're born again, he gives us the Holy Spirit. It indwells us. 1 John 5:11-12 tells us it's Jesus who indwells us. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And in John 14:23, and Jesus said, the Father comes to abide with us. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, Christ lives in me. Then in chapter 3, verse 5, he says, God has given us his Spirit. He says believers are baptized into Christ, are clothed with Christ. Think about that, friends. The very clothing that we're wearing right now, God is that close. Many times at Christmas, we hear Jesus referred to as Emmanuel, meaning God with us. You see, when Jesus came into this world, he was truly, literally God with us. And here's the most comforting news I'll ever share. Romans 8:38-39. Because God is with us, we know that we will never be separate from his love. 1 Chronicles 22:17-19 infers his presence assures us we can accomplish his will for each of us. As a matter of fact, friends, we can overcome our fear. We can overcome our worry, any dissatisfaction we may have, according to Hebrews 13:5. And in Romans 8:26, friends, how much more comforting can it be that the Holy Spirit in us is always praying for us? It's why we're told to pray without ceasing in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It simply means maintaining an attitude of prayer. It means being receptive enough to pray whenever he leads. Friends, the Lord is near. Psalm 34:15, he's attentive to our cry. But friends, this comes by walking with the Lord. If we study his word, if we fellowship together, if we worship together as believers, we'll discover unity in walking together. It's why we carry the attitude we're in ministry with the Lord at all times. The Holy Spirit will lead us. We will see God at work. He's alive and he's near. There's no doubt he longs to communicate. There's no doubt he longs to commune with each of us. And that, my friends, is the joy of the Christian life. So whenever the glass breaks, whenever life shatters, remember this: the Lord is near. We often can't rejoice because what's near is not all that worth rejoicing. Broken relationships, illness, death, they don't always get an applause. We can't sing Christ because we don't realize his voice is still near. We're caught up in what's happening before us, and deal with what's before us, we must. But Paul is saying in our scripture, not only this Christmas season, but throughout the year, the Lord is near and we can rejoice always. So I invite us to pause for a moment. I invite you to look at what's around your life right now. What is consuming you? What has your attention? What draws your focus? And in the midst of all those things that are consuming us, remember that the Lord is there with you in the presence of anything you're going through. Now, we've been shopping, we've been sending cards, we've been making plans, dealing with life. And we realize life itself is very near. But hear this: when that life is in Christ, we have every reason to rejoice. Paul even says it again: rejoice. Don't lose sight of this as we celebrate this year. The gifts, the cards, the get-togethers, the laughter, the cheer, it's exciting, it's even thrilling, but remember, it's only for a season. But with Christ, it can last all year long. So you see, friends, to be joyful in all seasons can be a rather confusing question. You may have heard it said, Jesus is the answer. But the reality is, for many, Jesus is still the question. Was he really born of the Virgin Mary to be the Messiah for the world? Could he actually have led a life without sin? Was he truly fully man and fully God? Did he perform the miracles he claimed to perform? Could he have actually died for our sins? And did he really rise again on the third day and conquer death once and for all? And for the believers among us, we know that the evidence is in this book called the Holy Word of God, the Bible, God's authoritative voice, his infallible truth, his timely treasure, his hope in this lost world. In fact, as believers, we know it all to be true, every last word written. And here's why: because there were eyewitnesses, there were firsthand accounts, there were people willing to die for the cause of Christ. If it weren't true, why would they do that? Why would they write this stuff and believe it if it weren't true? But friends, we still get to answer the question for ourselves: is Jesus who he said he is? Is he truly the answer? And if so, we must realize there is a lot at stake. But at the same time, friends, there is a lot more reason to rejoice and to rejoice again. Now, I love gifts just as much as the next guy, but give me Jesus any day, anytime, anywhere. It's the greatest gift to know that the Lord is near. The verses go on to answer every single one of life's problems. Aren't you glad you came to church today? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And here it is, friends, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Friends, it's the gift we're all looking for. The peace of God. We know it's the perfect gift, and we've all wrapped it from time to time, but somehow we lose it year after year. We know where to find it, but life keeps pulling the rug out from under our feet. And that peace that's within us somehow departs. But know, friends, that the Lord is near and that peace is always within reach. Sometimes we must praise and rejoice louder than what's in front of us. I've learned through many a trial, a prayer with thanksgiving becomes a beautiful thing. But I'll confess, it's much easier to say, God, I don't know how much more I can handle. But when I pray, Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are. This problem I'm facing is nothing in comparison to you. I pray, Lord, you just have your way in my life and the life of my family and friends. And I will keep rejoicing and praising you no matter what. You see, in essence, what we're saying is we choose to rejoice because the Lord is near. So the question is, do you believe that this morning? We need not be anxious, but somehow it's always knocking at the door. There's something to always be anxious about, but we pray that God helps us not to be anxious about anything. We pray God helps us to realize he is near. Remember, Paul is in prison. He has every reason to be anxious, but he chooses to rejoice. He chooses to be gentle because Paul knew the Lord is near. I have to believe we know that too. But where our attention goes, our fears, our anxiety follows. But when that attention is on the Lord, we find that peace. Our hearts, our minds are guarded in Christ. You know, maybe that's just it. There's not any predefined steps or rules or a theory or a formula to be followed to remain joyous at all times. But there is this biblical principle that Paul recommends out of his experience. And it's what we've been talking about all along. No matter what is happening around us, we're called to rejoice. For we know it's in Jesus we find our meaning and purpose. It's in Jesus we experience complete and total joy. So wherever we're looking for joy, whatever causes us to rejoice, remember it will be nothing compared to the knowledge of Jesus. For without him, we know that that joy comes and it goes. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the joy that you give us. We thank you that we can rejoice in the most difficult of situations because we know, Lord, that you are near. So we pray, Father, that you would give your peace to all of us, that we would know your peace and we would know that it transcends our understanding, that it's a peace the world cannot offer, a peace only you can give. And we pray, Father, that we would be a peaceful people. We would be gathered together in unity, proclaiming the good news, knowing that you are with us, So we celebrate, we rejoice who you are in our lives, and we pray for those that might be gathered here today that are still questioning, still wondering, is this Jesus for real? And I pray your Spirit would lead them and guide them into that truth. And we just thank you for loving us, for forgiving us, and for giving us a reason to rejoice. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we don't remember anything else today, remember that the Lord is near. And because the Lord is near, we have reason to rejoice. May he give you peace. May he give you that joy. And may he give you understanding in whatever it is that you're facing this day. Amen.